That's right, folks. Another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Today, we're breaking down the NFC East, five players with the most to gain or lose from the NFL draft. We're here to talk about Rashad Penny, his new RB1. Is he the RB1 for the Eagles? We're excited to break that down. Tony Pollard as a bell cow. Isaiah Hodges of the Giants receivers. Yes, that's right. Plenty of big implications for fantasy football coming in this NFL draft. Before we do, I want to make sure you follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And of course, make sure you jump over to Razzball.com, folks. We do great articles on the football, baseball, basketball, and hockey side. So anything you need, analysis, stats, we got it all on Razzball.com. So go check it out. But today's show is the five players with the most to gain or lose in the NFC East starting right now. Fresh face on board today. I'm really excited to talk about one of our new writers who's also going to be on the podcast now. I'm pretty excited. It's Ben Wasley. You can follow him at Fantasy First Down No O on Twitter. What's going on, Ben?
What's happening? Good to be here.
I'm excited, dude. First off, it's always nice to get on board with someone new. Tell a little bit, you know, let's get it. Let's do a little bit about you first, man. Tell us what you're doing right now, where you write, where people can find your content. Why don't you tell a little people about yourself?
So first thing I noticed is I'm Australian, so I apologize for the accent, but I've been doing American football for years now, over a decade, and got into about 3 or 4 years ago doing a heap of stuff with Fantasy Pros, do a lot of my ranking and mock drafts through there, but I do most of my stuff on Instagram, but you can also find us on Twitter, obviously, at the Fantasy First Down, no O, because apparently that's too long to fit in the Instagram handle, Twitter handle, so... we just knocked the O out. But yes, mostly writing articles on Razzball, so you should check those out. And we do a little bit of stuff around the place on Instagram too. A lot of rankings, a lot of mock drafts, things like that. And we answer all your questions on Instagram.
That's awesome. And you're burying the lead. This guy was an absolute dynamo last year on the Fantasy Pros accuracy ranking. So go check him out. Give him a follow. But today we're here to pick his brain about some of the players in the NFC East. A lot of guys who have a lot to gain or lose based on what their teams do in the NFL draft. Let's dive right into it. And two of these guys are at the same position for the Dallas Cowboys. It's their tight ends, Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot. You know, of course, Dalton Schultz left this offseason. They obviously, who's going to step into that role? Tell us why you think they have a lot to gain or lose from the NFL draft.
I mean, I think the Cowboys have shown over the years that they can support a good fantasy tight end. We've seen Dalton Schultz, tight end number 4 in 2021. He dropped back to tight end 10 in 2022, but we know that they can do that. And even with Jason Witten for years, they've always supported a good fantasy tight end. And you'd have to think that that trend's going to follow. The issue here is which of these guys takes on that role. Does either of them take on that role? There's a lot of good tight ends in the draft. There's a good half a dozen guys or so that they could easily pick up, even in the second and third rounds, who could take that lead role. So I think we're going to learn a lot in the draft about where they see these two guys and also what they plan on doing for the future. If they don't pick up anyone in day one or day two, I really think that one of these guys could become a fantasy-relevant tight end, but the question is which one. You'd have to think Jake Ferguson has the advantage. He was drafted in the 4th round. He was really good with Wisconsin. He was a top 2 receiver for them for basically the whole 4 years he was there, but Peyton Hendershot's really good as well. I know he was undrafted, but he was really effective with Indiana, and ultimately, he and Ferguson split snaps when Schultz was out last year. So it's kind of hard to know which of those two we should expect to be effective if they don't draft anyone. So I think the draft will tell us what they plan on doing. And after that, it's just going to be about gambling on which receiver you prefer. I like Ferguson better, but it's possible they use Hendershot as a purely third down receiving an option. And if that happens, it kind of takes away the fantasy value for both of them.
Yeah, and we kind of saw, well, first off, the market's saying the same thing. Current ADP right now, very early on NFC, tight end 28 is Jake Ferguson. Tight end 62 is Peyton Hendershot. So it's not even close. And if you look at their actual stat lines, the 2 games without Dalton Schultz, 5 for 65 for Hendershot, 6 for 53 and 1 for Ferguson. So Ferguson got the touchdown, but very close in stats. The other thing is Brian Schottenheimer, the new OC for the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, this is going to be Mike McCarthy's offense, but his imprint as well. In 12 seasons as an OC, 4 top 15 tight end finishes and 2 in the top 12. So it is possible that this offense could produce a tight end win for fantasy. Let's jump down to number 4. This one's Logan Thomas. And I feel like I've only gotten one deep sleeper right in my lifetime, and this was Logan Thomas in like 3 years ago. So I have like a very soft spot for this guy. But let's talk quickly about Logan Thomas' situation, how it's starting to change. Number one, Eric Bieniemy is now the offensive coordinator. Do I have to tell you about this guy named Travis Kelce? Probably not. Well, I'm not saying Logan Thomas is Travis Kelce, but the fact that this offensive coordinator has basically oversaw an offense that featured a tight end is automatically a good step in the right direction. The next thing, though, is the quarterback situation. It's Jacoby Brissett, Sam Howell. We're not 100% sure who wins that battle, if they even try to go get a quarterback in the draft. But Jacoby Brissett, in my opinion, if he does win the job, last season in his starts, David Njoku was a tight end 8. In 2017 with the Colts, Jack Doyle, tight end 6. Mike Gesicki averaged double-digit fantasy points with the Dolphins with Jacoby Brissett just a few years ago. So there's clearly a link to Jacoby Brissett and producing some solid tight ends. So if he does win out, I do like that as well. Sam Howell, couldn't even tell you. I tried looking at North Carolina stats. I tried to find something, and I couldn't. So if Sam Howell wins, we'll all be in the dark. But the offensive line, also a key component for this for him, because he won't have to stay in block as much. They got Andrew Wiley from the Chiefs coming over, the right tackle, so that's good as well. But the target competition's tough, right? You got Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel, so I understand that. But it's a lot more likely an every down tight end like Logan Thomas is going to produce than a third receiver. And why do I think he's going to be an every down tight end? Well, in 2020, he was the tight end 4 in fantasy. In 2021, the first 3 weeks of the season, he played 100% of the snaps, and then he got hurt. And that season is the season where he got hurt, came back, and then tore his ACL. Okay, last season, he was playing, coming back from injury. I wasn't expecting much from him. He was the current today, he's going tight end 66. He is a complete afterthought. Now, 2 years removed from that ACL, I'm expecting something, you know, really much better season. But also, he had an out in his contract this year, and they didn't take it. So they kept him on board, which I like overall. But any thoughts about Logan Thomas before we move on?
Yeah, look, you're right about that out. They could have saved $5.5 million if they'd released him during the offseason. They chose not to. So that tells you that he's in their plans. Because they've got guys like John Bates, who's fine. I don't mind John Bates, but clearly Logan Thomas is the guy. The question is what the guy looks like for them now. A couple of years ago, as you said, 100% of snaps. Last year, it was only 70% of snaps, even when he was the main guy. But the thing we noticed when he was having good games and when he was healthy, which wasn't much last year with that calf injury and rib injury, he's running over 30 routes a game. And that's really important, or as you call it, routes a game. And that's really important for tight ends. You really don't care how often they're on the field. You care how often they're having the opportunity to receive a catch. And that's happening over 30 times a game. And that's a pretty good marker for a fantasy tight end. So if everything goes well and he can keep going 32, 33 routes a game, he's going to be a fantasy option. So hopefully they don't pick up anyone in the draft. Hopefully he's on the field as much as possible. And then I can see him being that breakout guy again. The only problem, he is 32. But you know who else is 32? Travis Kelce. And he's the number one tight end in fantasy. So
there, you know, all I heard was that he's the next Travis Kelce. Let's move on to number 3. All right, number 3 is Rashad Penny. And obviously, if you've listened to this show a few times, Rashad Penny is one of my favorite landing spots of all this offseason. Now he's with the Philadelphia Eagles. You got Kenny Gainwell there. So why do you think Rashad Penny is the most to gain or lose from the NFL draft?
I think that with Rashad Penny, it's all about where the Eagles see him, and I think the draft is going to tell us exactly what they think of him. If they come out of the draft without a top back, then I think they see Rashad Penny as their early down guy. He's not going to be a third down guy. That's not his job. That's not his role. That's Kenny Gainwell. We know that, and they might even pick up someone to be an extra third down back, but he is an early down banger. And you saw how they used Miles Sanders in that role. He could easily be a high RB2 just by getting that first and second downs and working between the 20s. The problem is broken fibula, that's a pretty bad injury. I've had it myself, and it dropped 2 seconds off my 100-meter time when I had it. It makes a big difference to your explosiveness, and it does take a while to recover from. So I'm not confident he's going to be back. They've only given him $1.2 million this year. That's not a big contract. They gave Boston Scott twice the amount, and they barely use him. So it really is a prove-it contract, and how much he gets used is going to be dictated by how healthy he is more than anything else. And I think we're going to find out in the draft, based on whether they pick anyone up in the early rounds, what they think his health status is going to be. If he's healthy, RB2 for sure, assuming they don't pick anyone up. If they pick anyone up early, then you can pretty much guarantee they don't think he's going to be healthy and he's not worth drafting.
Yeah, I just think this guy, 5.7 yards per attempt in his career behind a number one offensive line on a team who doesn't need to pass to him, just go run the football. It's just, I'm hoping. It'll be fun to watch, but I'm not holding my breath. I think there's going to be a day two running back coming to Philadelphia in the very near future. All right. Let's jump down to number two. It's Isaiah Hodges. And if you haven't told, can't tell, I am a Giants fan. So this one is more for me to just make myself feel better about the idea that Darren Waller is like probably going to be our number one option. And we have a bunch of slot receivers on our team, and that's really it. And the only guy that's different is Isaiah Hodges. So if you look at this entire roster, the first thing before I even want to do anything, I want to ask myself this question. Is he actually good? Guy is a former practice squad player, not drafted, goes to Buffalo. Well, the first thing you have to ask yourself, if Brian Daboll didn't think there was something good about this kid, why would he have signed him after he got released by Buffalo? I do like that. That's one of the things I checked off. But then I also wanted to look at some of the player profiler stuff coming out of college. He actually finished his last season at Oregon State, 86 receptions, 1,100 yards, 13 touchdowns, 85th college dominator, 90th percentile college target share. So this guy was a dominator in college. Okay, college is college, but at least he has some stats to back it up. Then reception. Matt Harmon did an outlook on him. Shout out to him. He actually wrote in his analysis for Isaiah Hodges that he's slightly above average against man and slightly below average against zone. Okay, he's okay. He's not horrific. All right, that's fine. So now that I feel like I'm more comfortable that he could be a starter in the NFL, let's take out some stats. Weeks 10 through 17 last year, because he sat week 18. He was the wide receiver 22 in fantasy football. He averaged about 4 receptions, 45 yards, 4 touchdowns during that time frame. Weeks 13 through the playoffs, okay? He was the wide receiver 13 in fantasy football. So basically week 13, I actually included the playoffs for his production. And they went 5 for 51 on average with 3 touchdowns during that time frame. So right there, 5 for 51, 10 PPR fantasy points without touchdowns. Not too bad. Okay. So he's starting to put a little more production out there as well. Now look at why he is a difference maker. Okay. This is the depth chart of the New York Giants. Okay. They got Darren Waller. Great. 6'6". He's had one season with more than 3 touchdowns, which is absolutely absurd. I would never have thought that. When I was going into this, I was looking for reasons to like Isaiah Hodges more. It actually helped me when I was like, oh, wow, one season over 3 touchdowns. Then it's Paris Campbell, 6 feet tall. Jamison Crowder, 5'8". Darius Slayton, 6'1". Sterling Shepard, 5'10". Wan'Dale Robinson, 5'8". Okay? Why is that important? Well, Hodges is 6'4". He's got a catch radius that's like in the 90th percentile. This guy is going to offer them a red zone threat that I think he proved last year with those touchdowns in that short period of time that he can really dominate in the red zone. So I like that. Currently going 240th overall, wide receiver 84. So the only thing I found that was a little bit of downside was his contract. 870K, not too much of an investment, but we'll see. Your thoughts about Isaiah Hodges?
Yeah, I mean, I think the contract's because he was an exclusive rights free agent, so he's always going to be a low contract. So the Giants are going to take advantage of that regardless. How they value him is a real question, and I don't know the answer, but the guys they brought in are really interesting. They already had a lot of strength in the slot. You'd hope that Sterling Shepard's going to be healthy at some stage this year. He did his ACL pretty early on. We know they're not going to have Wan'Dale Robinson. He'll miss most of the season. But they brought in Jamison Crowder, who's a slot guy already. Surely he's a backup. And then they brought in Paris Campbell as well, who's traditionally been a slot guy last year for Indy. But who's the Giants wide receivers coach? Well, he was the Colts wide receiver guy in 2021 when Paris Campbell was there. And when Paris Campbell was there, specifically in 2021, he played 90% of his snaps on the outside. We see him as a slot receiver, but in 2021, he wasn't a slot receiver. He was an outside guy. And he's coming to the Giants with the same coach. It's entirely possible that Paris Campbell, they gave him a $5 million contract, could he be the other outside guy opposite Darius Slayton? I mean, Slayton's locked in. They've given him quite a bit of money. So he's definitely going to be a starting guy this year. Is it Campbell? Is it Hodgins? Is it a little bit of both? I really liked Hodgins out of college, but realistically, he was behind Marcus Johnson and Kenny Golladay for big parts of last year. He did break out, but is he really the guy they need if they're going to be a Super Bowl contender? I feel like it might be Paris Campbell. So we'll have to see what happens and how they use Campbell in the preseason. I think that's going to teach us a lot, but hopefully they come out of the draft without a big outside receiver. I don't think there's many good options there. It's a pretty weak receiver class, especially for outside guys. So if that's the case, then I feel like that's a positive side for Hodgins, but he still needs to fight off Paris Campbell.
All right. Well, I was a little, you got me a little excited at the beginning, and then at the end, I'm not as excited. So we're going to move
rip
on.
It away.
Ripping it right off there. All right. Number one, Tony Pollard, Dallas Cowboys, knock on wood, future bell cow. They release Zeke. They bring in Ronald Jones. Why does Tony Pollard, in your opinion, have the most win or lose from the NFL draft?
I'm really nervous about Tony Pollard. I can see this going a lot of different ways. I've seen a lot of people ranking him as a round one guy in fantasy drafts, and that's insane to me. He just doesn't seem like a true bell cow back. He's not that big. He never works on early downs. He's never been on the field on fourth down. He very rarely goes on the field in third and long. On second and short, I should say, he averages 2.3 yards a carry. That's second and one, second and two, second and three, second and four, second and five, second and six. That's a lot of the time, and he's only averaging 2 yards a carry. He really struggles with that sort of situation. They've always used Zeke. Now they don't have Zeke. Are they really going to hand those sorts of snaps over to Tony Pollard? I don't really think they will. I think they go into the draft and they go, wow, this is a pretty deep running back class. There's a lot of big backs. They could take Kendre Miller. They can take Zach Evans. They can take Kenny McIntosh. There's a whole heap of like day two, day three guys who are big backs who can take a lot of that workload, do a lot of the stuff in the red zone. He only had one red zone touchdown last year. And I know they have Zeke and they're going to use him there, but they're intentionally taking Tony Pollard off the field in those situations. And when they're not, he's not very effective. He's just not that sort of back. He's explosive. He's really good on first and long, second and long. He can rip off big chunk plays, but he's not going to grind it out between the 20s. He's just not that sort of back. So I feel like they need to bring someone else in. If they don't, however, I mean, is it really going to be Ronald Jones? I don't think anyone believes that Ronald Jones is going to be getting a significant amount of snaps. So if they don't bring in a big back, that's pretty good news for Tony Pollard. And you've got to hope they don't bring in a third down back like a Devin Achane, that kind of guy. Assuming they don't bring in someone like that, then Tony Pollard could really be a top five back. I wouldn't be drafting him anywhere near the first round of my fantasy draft, though. It's just too risky. I just don't think that he's the type of player who can handle that heavy workload. Not that he'll get injured. He's just not very effective. The other interesting thing is that his yards per carry take a massive nosedive when the team is losing. He averages 6 yards a carry when they're winning. When they're losing, he averages 3 yards a carry. So you've really got to hope the Cowboys are good this year, or you're not going to get that much out of Tony Pollard. He's going to be getting you 60 yards a game, no touchdowns, and that kind of sucks for your first-round draft pick.
Well, the good news is he's going 30th overall right now in early NFC. Cool. So the first-round talk is a little aggressive. So 2-3 turn is probably more realistic for him. Now, I think the biggest takeaway from out of the draft is going to be, is he going to be the unquestioned 1A at least? Is he at least going to be the top option versus if they go and get a second round running back, or even, I'm not saying they'll do a first round running back, that'd be insane, but this is the team that took Zeke like fourth overall. So in theory, it could happen again, but I just think that I would like to see, because so I said this stat a couple weeks ago, but I'll say it again. In 14 career games where he saw at least 15 or more touches, he averages 19 PPR points per game. That would have tied Derrick Henry last year as the RB4. So there's that upside. If he's getting close to 15 touches a game, I think that there's a lot of optimism that this guy could return value as a 2-3 turn. But that doesn't mean there isn't a bunch of risk, because a first-round pick, especially if they take a running back early, could be dire. All right, finally, that's it, folks. That's the five players with the most to gain or lose from the NFL draft for the NFC East. Leave a comment. Let us know your thoughts. Did we miss anybody? Should we have talked a little bit more about Jacoby Brissett? Because who doesn't love him? Should the Dak Prescott, is Brandon Cooks versus Michael Gallup, is that a huge one going into this offseason? Let us know. Leave a comment. And, of course, make sure you follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. Before we close the show, Ben, tell the people where they can find your content and what you got upcoming next.
Check us out on Twitter at Fantasy First Down, no O. Instagram, I answer all your questions on Instagram. It's at the Fantasy First Down on Instagram. Or you can check out our website, ffdfantasyfootball.com. Got a heap of articles coming out, focusing on mock drafts at the moment. Got top five in mock draft accuracy a couple of years ago, so I'm hoping to back that up this year. And also bringing out pre-draft fantasy football rankings for anyone who's interested in that sort of stuff as well. Plus, we've also always got dynasty stuff up there. If you want something, we've probably got it.
I like it. I love to hear it. Thank you once again. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Thanks for joining us again. We are out of here, folks.